Hallmark Entertainment presents Dark threatening clouds drift across the sky. A young woman in a long red skirt and shawl hurries up a rocky hillside. Bare spindly trees flank her path. An Alpine Median production in association with Larry Levinson Productions. The woman who has long tousled hair cradles a baby in her arms. Mystery woman at first sight. The woman pauses and tosses her head about. Strands of her hair cover her face. She clutches the baby to her, then runs on fearfully. She spins round and stumbles, then picks herself up and runs on. Bathed in red light, a young woman lies face down on a floor. Beside her are several photos of a mother and child, two little children, and a young girl. Kelly Martin, Clarence Williams III. Samantha's in a doctor's surgery.
Thanks for seeing me again so soon, doctor.
The doctor holds a pencil in front of her.
Just watch the pencil.
I know you said last week that it was probably eye strain, and I've been really trying to rest them, but they
watch
still
the
hurt.
Pencil.
The doctor, who's young and handsome, smiles as he moves the pencil about. Samantha follows it with her eyes.
So you've been resting them?
Yeah. No, I mean, I've been getting to sleep, but I've been waking up a lot lately.
Because your eyes hurt?
Kind of. Bad dreams.
I've been there.
Really scary ones.
Just look at the E for me.
Could that be eye impairment related?
No, that's what I thought at first, but according to nightmares.com, bad dreams are almost always caused by something called personal problems. You know, money, romance.
That's what I wish.
Hold still.
I'm sure it's nothing, and I know that everyone's vision changes over time, but I'm a photographer, so...
That's the smell.
What smell?
Your smell.
I have a smell.
You're a photographer?
Yeah.
That's the smell. Known it since I was a kid.
He peers into her eyes.
Look here. Yeah, my mom printed all her own photos. Turned half the kitchen into her darkroom. I was 14 before I realized meatloaf wasn't supposed to taste like silver chloride.
I was in the dark room all night. I must reek.
I had some mashed potatoes. You smell just like dinner.
So what's my diagnosis, Doc?
Well, we still got a few more tests.
So you think there's a problem, huh?
Like my mom used to say, let's see what develops.
Dark room humor. I like that.
At her mystery woman bookshop, Samantha dons glasses and checks her reflection.
You don't really need glasses. You're just trying to look cool.
No, doctor's orders. He doesn't want me straining my baby blues when I read.
You've already had 3 appointments with this doctor.
Yep, and it just so happens that I have a date with him.
Yeah, right.
I do.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
You're going out with a doctor. You have a date with a doctor?
Jeez, Cassie.
What? You have a date with a doctor. Tell me more about the dream.
Okay, so there was this woman, and she had a baby, and she was, like, running.
What'd she look like?
Actually, she kind of looked like me.
Really?
What?
Sounds to me like you're already planning a family with this doctor.
Well, if I am, I wasn't very happy about it.
Pretty blonde Cassie, who's wearing her hair in plaits, goes on hearing someone arrive. Evening. Samantha and her date are in a smart restaurant called the Café Seine. A waitress pours wine for the doctor.
There you go.
He tastes the red wine and nods to the waitress.
I've never really dated a patient before. Not that it's unethical or anything.
Oh, so this is strictly ethical.
Actually, I was just at a conference where we were discussing this very issue, and it
actually,
came up.
Actually, here's to not talking shop.
What did the ophthalmologist say to the pretty girl? Here's looking at you, kid. You get it?
That's pretty lame.
Awful.
It's one of the worst I've ever heard.
Yeah.
He smiles and shrugs and sips his wine. Later, they're leaving the restaurant.
I had a great time tonight.
Me too.
And I know we agreed not to talk shop, but I think I figured out what's wrong with your eyes.
Oh, really? You know what it is?
Yeah. They're too beautiful.
No, seriously. I shouldn't worry.
Seriously? You should probably just rest them. Given your age and family history, it's probably nothing serious.
But since I filled out that my mom and dad's vision is fine, then my eyes should be fine.
In fact, why don't you close them right now?
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Samantha closes them, and the doctor, Ben, kisses her on the lips. They draw apart and Samantha smiles. Samantha's sweeping up outside her bookshop when Cassie runs up to her with two coffees.
Oh my God, he kissed you and he's a doctor.
I told you in the message, though, I lied to him.
You lied to a doctor, okay. Don't give it a second thought. Plenty of perfectly adequate relationships are built on nothing but lies.
Well, I didn't lie about me. I mean, I guess I sort of did, but I didn't think it would matter. It never has.
Babe, how can I give you the benefit of my bad advice if I have no idea what you're talking about?
We were talking about families and I lied about my mom and dad.
Okay, can we get back to the part about the kissing?
Cassie, I'm trying to tell you something, something I have never told anyone before.
Okay.
They sit facing each other.
I'm adopted. It's true.
I met your mom.
She's my mom, but I am adopted.
How come you never told me?
I've never told anybody. I'm not even supposed to know. I saw some papers by accident back when I was applying for financial aid for college. So my parents left these papers on the table and I peeked at them. And I saw my birth mom gave me up. Anyway, my name was on it.
Was your birth mom's name on it?
Samantha shakes her head.
I don't know.
She wipes away a tear.
You didn't look at it?
No, my mom was coming, so I just covered it up.
Wow.
Will you help me find my birth mom?
I'll make some calls. We'll find her.
Cassie paces the bookshop while she's on the phone.
Look, I understand there are confidentiality laws, but this is a medical emergency. No, petitioning the court would take too long. Thanks.
Not going smoothly, huh?
That's why God created billable hours. What'd you find?
No listing of the law firm. Maybe I remember the name wrong.
Victor Short of Short and Long Associates? No way you made that one up. Maybe the firm isn't from around here.
You said the adoption would be formalized in the county of the adoptive parents.
Right, but the papers you saw were for the relinquishment.
So you think I could have been born somewhere else?
Exotic, huh?
What's exotic?
Hawaii or Mexico. We can't decide which vacation we'd like more.
Don't overlook Guam. Good beaches and a great exchange rate.
Wow. Guam, then.
Thank you, Philby.
All right.
He goes. Samantha mouths Guam to Samantha, who shakes her head.
Okay. So, where were we?
You were about to reveal the place of my birth.
Right.
A man peers into the shop as Cassie's on the phone.
Sacramento, California Bar Association. Hi, I'm trying to track down a fellow member of the bar. What year were you born?
78.
Victor Short, a partner in the firm of Short and Long Associates? Yes, I'll hold. So, let me ask you something. If you hadn't have met Dr. Goodkisses, when were you going to find your birth mom?
Eventually, when things were a little less complicated.
You mean never?
Yeah, something like that.
Yes, I'm here. Okay.
Cassie scribbles something on a notepad.
Yes, thank you.
She holds up the notepad.
Here you go.
Victor Short, Whiptail, California. Where is that?
Between Sacramento and Tahoe, 6-hour drive, maybe 7.
Philby's by the cash register as Samantha appears with a suitcase.
So, I'll just be gone a few days. If you need me, call me on my cell phone. Have you seen my charger?
This one?
Thank you. It's just family business.
So you said.
He follows her outside to her Jeep, where she places the suitcase in the boot.
Drive carefully, and if you feel sleepy, pull over.
Philby, it's only 6 hours.
Maybe 7.
Samantha turns to look at him.
Philby.
Samantha, when you need me to know more, you'll tell me.
Samantha smiles and gets in her Jeep. Bespectacled, middle-aged Philby waves her off, then turns back to the shop. He spots a man watching them from a short distance away. It's the same grey-haired man that peered into the shop while Cassie was on the phone. Philby stares at him, then steps into the shop. Peaks and mountains covered with pine trees, under a hazy blue sky. Samantha's driving along a lonely highway flanked by trees. Frowning, she checks her rearview mirror, then passes a road sign, "Welcome to Whiptail." She drives on until she comes to a roadside diner called the Whiptail Cafe, with a few cars and trucks parked outside. Samantha pulls up in front of it. She checks a sheet of paper in her hand and gets out. Inside, a waiter serves a table.
Chicken with goat cheese, grilled chicken, not so goaty. Eat up, guys, it's a long ride home.
The waiter approaches Samantha.
Oh, hi, would you like to sit inside or outside?
Neither, I'm not here for lunch.
Oh, well then you actually came to the right place because the service here is lousy. You're lucky if you ever get your food.
Well, that's one way to stay thin.
Whiptail diet.
It's got bestseller written all over it.
What can I not get you?
Actually, I was looking for an address, 33 Madeira Road.
This is it?
I mean, this is a great place, but I was looking for a
law office. For Victor Short.
Yeah, but they gave me this address.
Oh, no, you got the right address there. Hi, I'm Victor Short, Jr. Victor Short Sr. is the lawyer.
Oh.
But he died 8 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you need to talk to him because you are adopted.
How did you know that?
I'll be right back. I'm gonna get my dad's files. Be right back. You know, I found with the others, the best thing to do right about now is to sit.
He gestures, sit.
And don't sweat it. I was adopted too.
Samantha reads a document.
Hello. Hi, thanks for getting back to me. Yeah, Hannah Branford. Okay, perfect. No, nothing confidential, just the marriage records. Okay, great. Thank you so much. Bye.
He hands a note to Samantha.
You may want to try that.
Hannah Marie McPhillips.
According to her marriage records. You know, Tawny Falls is right across the valley.
Wow.
It's just like a hot stove.
What is?
You know, if you touch a hot stove, you don't do it again because you know you'll get burned.
Is that a theory?
I don't think so. I think it's more like a metaphor for fear of rejection.
I really appreciate your help, but I'm just looking for some routine medical history.
Okay. It's just there's nothing routine about meeting your real parents for the first time.
I'm really gonna be fine.
Listen, Sam, I know what you're going through, okay? And I've had all those same feelings. For years, I thought that my mother gave me away because she didn't want me, you know, because there was something wrong with me. And facing that rejection again, even as an adult, it's like putting your hand near a hot stove.
He wanders off with the tray, leaving her to study the name and address on the note. Hannah Maisie McPhillips, Tawny Falls. It's late afternoon, and a golden light filters through trees onto a quiet road. Samantha drives along it and pulls up at the end of a long avenue. Samantha sits in her Jeep and stares ahead. She taps the steering wheel with her fingers and sighs. A postbox at the end of the avenue by the road reads, McPhillips. There's a note under a stone outside the Mystery Woman bookshop.
Well, thanks, Philby. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for stopping by.
Oh, you bet. See you soon.
Philby sees a customer out, then stoops down to pick up the note, which has a black arrow drawn on it. Philby looks in the direction in which the arrow points, then walks that way. At the end of the block, Philby turns a corner. He drops the scrunched up note and walks slowly on until a gun is held to the side of his face. Philby stares ahead.
I knew you'd find me. Eventually.
The figure holding the gun is the grey-haired man, who smiles. Samantha, who's a slender blue-eyed brunette, gets out of her Jeep and starts walking up the long avenue to the McPhillips house. Wooden garden furniture sits on a patio beside large pots of flowers. As Samantha approaches the house, a slender, middle-aged blonde woman opens a door and quickly steps out to her.
Are you Hannah McPhillips?
What are you doing here? You've got to go.
Wait, I'm...
Get out of here. Get out of here now and don't come back.
Hold right there.
Samantha turns to see a sheriff and his deputy with their guns trained on them. Shocked, Samantha turns to face Hannah. Through the glass doors behind the woman, Samantha can see a body lying face down on the floor. The surrounding landscape is an unspoiled wilderness. The sheriff and his men investigate the crime scene. Photos are taken of the body and a note is handed to the sheriff.
Found this note in the car.
So, Mrs. McPhillips, you have no idea how he got into the house?
No, I don't. I just came home and saw the body lying there. I called 911 and went outside to wait, and she was standing there.
And why exactly are you here, Miss Kinsey?
I was collecting donations for the Retinitis Pigmentosa Research Fund.
Door-to-door kind of thing?
Am I a suspect?
Are you?
How am I a suspect, Sheriff? The guy was shot. I don't have a gun. I have no powder residue on my hands.
Well, maybe not, but there's the matter of this note that my deputy found in your little truck out there. It's got Hannah's name and address right on it.
Hey, Sheriff?
Yeah?
Hannah steps away.
Dug this out of that wall.
It's an odd one.
A bullet.
What do you make of it?
Smaller than a 38. I make it 32 caliber.
You dug that out of the wall? Aren't you afraid you'll damage important evidence?
It's drywall. You can practically yank it out with your fingers.
Shouldn't the crime scene unit be collecting the evidence?
Whittale doesn't have a crime scene unit.
Whittale doesn't have any crime.
We had that stolen RV.
That was a good one.
Well, maybe the lack of crime is all the more reason to call in the experts, you know, the guys who know what they're doing.
Skyler, give me a time of death.
Skyler, dark-haired and whiskered, crouches down by the body. The sheriff smiles smugly at Samantha.
That rigor in the eyes and the face muscles, none in the arms and the body. The body's cooling, but it's still warm. Unfixed lividity, between 3 and 4 hours ago.
Okay, tell me about the wound.
It's a clean exit, and there's no murder weapon, so it wasn't self-inflicted.
From where I found the slug, I'd say our Vic took it standing up, face to face, probably from a 10 to 12 feet away.
Good peeps.
Special forces. My boys here did tours in Afghanistan.
Really? So what are you guys doing here?
Yeah, why are you here?
Just riding the mountain.
Awesome snowboarding 6 months of the year.
Nah, extreme mountain biking the other six.
A young woman arrives.
Mom!
She rushes in.
You're the daughter?
Yes, she is.
I'm Sheriff Powell. We spoke on the phone.
They said there was a problem. Is everything all right?
Everything's all right.
I didn't want to worry you on the phone, but a man was murdered here in the house.
Oh, my God. You saw it.
She saw the body when she got back.
Who are you?
I'm Samantha Kinsey. I was here when the police arrived.
Why?
It's all right, honey. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Can I assume that you're coming from work?
The young woman nods.
Do you have a key to your mother's house?
No, she doesn't.
Well, the man got in somehow. Anyone else with a key? Housekeeper, workman, any other children?
No. No, just my husband.
Oh, Skyler, did you get a hold of Mr. McPhillips?
Cell phone's not responding.
He was driving up to Sacramento.
Just all of a sudden?
He's in sales. He drives up there at least once a week.
Okay. I'll tell you what we should do. They have a bunch to finish up before they can take the victim, but why don't you come with me to the station?
Sure. Does she really have to do that?
Yeah, we need to get a full statement, just fill in a few details.
So is Hannah a suspect?
Not at this point.
Well, then she doesn't have to go.
Look, I know this is frustrating, but the bottom line is we got the dead body of a man nobody knows lying in a house nobody let him into.
She has rights.
Yeah, and we've got questions. And the man's got no ID, no wallet, no money.
Let's go then. I've got nothing to hide.
The sheriff follows Hannah outside.
Her. It isn't right.
It's just routine questioning.
I want to go with her.
No, you can meet her over at the station.
But she didn't do anything.
Sitting in the back of the sheriff's car, Hannah's driven away. Her daughter stands beside Samantha.
It isn't right. She didn't do anything. It isn't right.
You need to call your lawyer.
You should call my dad.
Your mother is about to become the primary suspect in a murder investigation. You need to help her. We can call from the car. I'll drive.
At Mystery Woman Books, Philby has a drink with the gray-haired man.
You still walk like an elephant.
I snuck up on you, didn't I?
Only because I let you. You're the world's least covert agent.
It's good tea. I stopped drinking, you know. 11 years sober.
You look good.
The gray-haired man puts a mug down.
Now you want to know why I'm here.
He stands up and turns to face Philby.
Remember George Rabetta?
There's no such person.
He had visions?
Nightmares.
Perfectly accurate nightmares. He dreamed exactly what people were doing and where they were doing it. Every intelligence agency in the world wanted him, but we got him. You and me. He saved a lot of people's lives. He might have saved more if you'd have handled it, right? But now you're here. Instead of the career that you wanted, instead of the career that you loved, you're out here in the middle of nowhere. And by the way, so's George Rabetta. George is alive. Again. And the police have him.
Philby looks shocked. He bows his head thoughtfully, then stands up and stares at his ex-partner, Desmond. The county sheriff's station. Samantha parks up outside the station in her Jeep. Hannah McPhillips' pretty blonde daughter, Francie, is sitting beside her.
Ugh, still no response on my dad's cell. Must be driving to a dead zone.
Call your lawyer directly.
I don't have a lawyer.
You know what? I got a source for all things legal.
Samantha gets on her phone.
Cassie.
Samantha. How's the Great White North?
Not so white, not so great.
You having trouble finding your birth mom?
Actually, I did, but forget about that for right now. I've got a friend who really needs your legal help.
Listen to you. Go on 10 minutes and you're already in trouble.
No. Just listen to me, okay? It's very important. She's like a sister to me.
What are you talking about, sister? Oh, my gosh! You have a sister? Your mother has a... Is she there with you right now?
Yeah.
What does she look like? Does she know?
Samantha looks over her shoulder at Francie.
Not yet.
Why not? I bet she would love to...
Well, her primary concern right now is that her mother's just been hauled in by the cops.
For what?
Okay, there was this murder.
Your mom's a murderer?
No, Cassie, geez, of course not. She's just a suspect.
Okay. Don't let her talk to anyone without an attorney.
Well, that's why I'm calling you.
Okay, you're up in Owasco County. Yikes.
What?
The prosecutor up there is a real shark.
You know him?
Yeah, I took a bar association workshop with him once, how to convict without evidence.
I'll make a couple calls.
What's the prisoner's name?
Hannah. Hannah McPhillips.
Hmm. Your mom's name's Hannah McPhillips.
That's pretty. Yeah.
Go. Go and help your family.
Okay.
Samantha hangs up.
Could you help?
Yeah. Good friend.
In the sheriff's office.
This is crazy. Somebody must be able to tell me what's going on. Where is Sheriff Powell?
Sorry, ma'am. He's still busy.
How long have we been here?
Almost 5 hours. This is crazy. She didn't even do anything. What could they be asking her for so long? It's time to find out.
Samantha calls Cassie.
Samantha.
It's so maddening. Nobody will tell me anything.
Yeah, the real world is maddening without an inside source.
They did ID the victim off his fingerprints. Some guy named Van Jefferson. Van, is that even a real name?
If they ID'd him that quickly, then he must be in law enforcement or the military.
Or he's a crook, which is what I thought, but nobody will tell me anything.
Okay. He's partners in a firm, Jefferson and Delson. They do some kind of insurance stuff. See, isn't it nice to have someone on the inside?
How did you find that out so fast?
I Googled him. I gotta go.
Okay? Got it.
Samantha steps outside, then walks up to a bench and sits down beside Francie, who's bent forward with her head resting in her hand.
They can't really suspect my mom.
I hope not.
Francie shakes her head.
She's not that type of person.
You know, when I was 13, I had my very first boyfriend, Eddie Amador. He dumped me in front of the entire seventh grade. God, I was humiliated. But my entire life was over. I went home and I cried. And you know what my mom said? She held me all night. She said, "You're so beautiful, Francie." Over and over.
A man steps up to them.
Dad. Oh, God. Where have you been?
I went to the house and the neighbor said that the police had been there. What's going on? Where's your mother?
Sheriff's still questioning her. We got her an attorney.
Who are you?
Samantha Kinsey. She was there when Mom found the... I was at the house when Mrs. McPhillips found the body.
You were there? What happened?
I really don't know. You know what? She might be out now, so we should go check on her.
The three step inside.
Mom!
Francie embraces Hannah, who's now been released. Mark embraces them both. As Samantha stands back and watches them, she imagines herself taking Francie's place in the embrace.
Are you okay? What'd they do to you?
I'm fine, honey. Everything's okay now.
They say who they want to talk to next?
I don't know.
Well, can we go home then?
They said they were finished with me for now, but I...
Let's get out of here.
Hang on a second. I just got some new information on that victim, Van Jefferson.
What is it?
Well, it's old information, actually. He was arrested and served time 28 years ago for grand theft auto and resisting arrest. His partner, who left the deputy with three broken ribs, also went to jail. Her name was Hannah Branford.
That was almost 30 years ago. I didn't recognize him.
I'm afraid I'm gonna have to keep you here.
Sheriff, come on.
She knew the victim, she knew his name, and she lied about it.
She didn't lie. It's a misunderstanding. Look, my mom didn't commit any crime.
Well, maybe not, but until we clear it up, I'm gonna have to keep you in custody.
Are you arresting her? On what charge?
Suspicion of murder? Look, the district attorney's gonna have to sort this all out. Until he does, none of you leave town. Come on.
Sheriff Powell leads Hannah away. A distressed Francie looks at Samantha. Samantha drives down a slope and pulls up alongside a bungalow. She gets out of her car. Carrying two takeaway coffees, she walks down a short drive towards the front door. Before she can get there, Francie steps out of the house carrying a briefcase.
What are you doing here? Hey, I just wanted to talk to you. I brought coffee. Well, thanks. I've already had mine. You know, I'm trying to figure this thing out. So this guy was killed.
Okay, Samantha, look.
I appreciate what you're doing here. But with all due respect, this is really none of your business. So I think you better go. The only reason I'm trying to help you save your mother is so I can get out of here. You heard what the sheriff said. I can take care of my mother by myself. Really?
Yeah.
How? Well, I don't know yet. She may not need our help. They may never charge her. Well, Sheriff Powell says they will. Based on what? She comes home, she finds this dead guy in her house, a guy she hasn't seen in over 30 years, just because they went to prison together.
That proves nothing.
Exactly. So there's no real evidence against your mother whatsoever.
Right, because my mother is innocent.
But if she didn't kill him, somebody else did.
What are you really doing here?
What do you want? Tell me what you know about Van Jefferson. Somebody killed him for a reason. So if we can show the sheriff that somebody had motive, means, opportunity, then we can get Hannah off the hook.
My mother's innocent.
Well, help me prove it, Francie. Give me something to work with. I understand what you're going through.
No, you don't. Is your mother in jail?
She tosses her bag in the car and gets in. A silver car turns onto a street, drives slowly along it, and pulls in at the curb. Desmond's driving. Philby's in the passenger seat.
Who else knows that George is still alive?
Dale Browning? It's an alias. I got it flagged along with a few of yours and mine. Anybody ever goes checking the criminal databases? An auto alert text message pops up on my cell. How's that?
What?
Are you the only old fart who knows how to use a computer?
How long have we got before they ID Dale Browning as George Rebetta?
It depends on your local police chief.
Chief Connors.
Yeah, so far he's only sent inquiries to the BCS database.
It's just routine.
I know that. But when he gets no hits from the Bureau of Criminal Statistics, he'll go on to another database and then another, unless you think that he'll just give up and make Dale Browning pay a fine and move on.
You just ran a red light.
He was drinking. You know, I wonder if it was booze that made old George stop seeing things.
Chief Connors is like a dog with a bone. Just keeps chewing away.
Well, then we better move fast.
You didn't want to help me last time.
No, I didn't.
You said I was making a big mistake.
You were. And that's come around to bite you in the rear end. But that's not saying you never saved my butt.
Never intentionally.
Philby looks across the street at the Valley Fair antique store. He gets out of the car. He reaches back in through the open passenger window and takes out a baseball bat. Tall and broad with a short, stout neck, Philby looks menacing as he crosses the street to the upmarket antique store. Desmond watches as Philby stands in front of one of the large shop windows, looks up and down the street, then swings the bat and smashes the window. Philby casually steps aside and drops the baseball bat. With his back to the shop, he checks his watch and waits. Up in the mountains, Samantha has returned to the scene of the crime. She steps across the patio to the MacPhillips residence, ducks under the police tape and looks round. She approaches a window to see a figure inside. Samantha scurries out of sight to another window and peers in to watch the figure, Mark MacPhillips, open a compartment in a sideboard. Samantha raises her camera and snaps a photo. Mark lifts a gun out of a drawer and holds it up. He half turns round and Samantha ducks down. As she slowly rises to peer in again, Mark walks swiftly out of the living room. Samantha runs round to the conservatory door, opens it, and steps inside. She steps across a tiled floor towards the ornate carved sideboard that she saw Mark stoop beside. She crouches down, runs her fingers over the carved front, then reaches in under it. A secret drawer slides out. It's lined with red fabric and holds three antique revolvers. Another gun is missing.
Hey.
Samantha turns to face Mark.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here? This is a crime scene.
It's also my home. They tossed my wife in jail, put tape around my house. But where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do?
He looks at the drawer on the floor containing the three revolvers. Samantha follows his gaze.
Better leave.
Not until the sheriff gets here. I called him before I came in. I'm sure he's going to be very interested to see your antique gun collection.
None of those guns killed anybody.
One is missing.
If you think that I'd be willing to destroy evidence to protect my family, you're right. As a matter of fact, I'd be willing to get rid of anything or anybody that's out to hurt the people I love.
Is that a threat?
I don't like threats any more than I like lies about make-believe phone calls to sheriffs. Van Jefferson was a lying, cheating scum. Better off dead. But Hannah didn't kill him. You better get out of here now.
Samantha goes.
I cannot believe I got your machine. Listen, Cassie, I need more information. Maybe something on the dead guy's partner, Carl Delson, if you can find it. And then there's the long shot, the husband, Mark MacPhillips. He's got a pretty shaky alibi for the time of the murder. He says his cell phone went out. What the heck am I doing? I did not come here to play detective, and now I'm running around pretending to be someone I'm not instead of talking to the one woman who can help me know who I really am. I don't know. It's probably because I'm scared if I do talk to Hannah, I'll find out that she really did.
In the side mirror, she sees a man get into a dark blue car and drive away.
Anyway, I called so I wouldn't do anything stupid, but since you're not there, here goes.
She gets out of her car and runs across to where the blue car was parked. A sign at the curb reads, "Reserved parking for Carl Dalton." Samantha unpicks a lock. She shines a torch into Van Jefferson's office. She steps up to a desk and quickly looks through some files there. She turns around, steps up to a cabinet and opens a drawer. The drawer is full of files. Samantha pulls out one, drops it onto the desk and sits down. She dons a pair of spectacles, opens the file, and pores over it. Several piles of files later, Samantha's still poring over the contents of one of them. She frowns, closes the file and takes another from a stack in front of her. A name on the file reads David B. Cooper.
These plaintiffs have the same name but different cases.
Samantha looks up suddenly. On seeing a small light flash past the office, she switches off her torch and crouches low. She listens and waits, then picks up the file she was looking at, goes to the door, opens it, and steps into a corridor. She closes the door, and as she's turning round, she bumps back to back with Francie.
No!
Francie? What are you doing here?
Shh, what are you doing here?
I'm protecting my mother. I'm trying to destroy any evidence that, you know, Van Jefferson was trying to contact her.
That's not even Van Jefferson's office.
Oh, it's really dark in here. What is all that?
Evidence, hopefully. I left it a mess in there.
Is that about my mom?
No, but if it is what I think it is, it might help prove that she's innocent.
Great, let's use it.
She opens a door.
I see it. No, come on.
Samantha pulls Francie through another door. They race to Samantha's Jeep and get in. Samantha speeds away. A burly heavy shoots after them, then gets on his phone.
Dalton. Yeah, we had a break-in. No, I didn't recognize him. Yeah, I will.
They were shooting at us! Why are they shooting at us?
They're trying to kill us.
Are you okay?
No, I am not okay. Someone is trying to kill me, and I don't know why.
Okay, listen to me. It's been my experience that when you're being shot at, you know two things. One, that you should get out of the way, and two, that you're getting closer to the truth.
Where are we going?
Your mother isn't being straight with either one of us.
Francie looks at her and swallows.
We're gonna go see her and find out what's really going on.
At a police station, Chief Connors leads Philby to a prison cell.
What in the name of all that's holy were you even thinking? You know, we could resolve this whole issue if you'd just agree to pay for the damages and we could replace Mrs. DiLorenzo's window.
He closes the gate of the cell, then turns to a prisoner in another cell.
And you, Mr. Dale Brownie. Not answering to that name today, Dale? It's the one on your license. Of course, that's a fake. Seems like everything about you is fake. According to any and all public records, nobody's ever heard of you. But I'm making some inquiries into some not-so-public records that I have access to. Something will show up, Dale.
Philby stares at the other prisoner.
A couple of real beauties we got here.
He leaves with a couple of cops.
I figured for a psychic, you would have seen that speed trap they busted you with. Hello, Mr. Rebetta. You're looking good for a dead man.
George Rebetta stares at him and swallows.
I want to know what went on between you and Van Jefferson.
She told you she didn't recognize.
She lied. And then I lied to the police. They asked me if I had seen her go into the house. I didn't. But what I didn't tell them was that I was outside the house for about an hour while your mother was inside with a dead man she claims never to have seen before. Hannah, are you going to tell me what's going on, or should I invite Cheryl Powell in to go over the details?
He called me.
You mean Jefferson? Mom, you don't have to say anything else.
Okay, honey. She may as well know. It's okay. Yeah, he'd been calling me for a while.
So you lied to the police?
I knew who he was the minute I saw him lying there. Van Jefferson was my first love. But I'm no fool. If he's calling, it's not to recapture lost love. It's because he wanted something.
Money? Was he blackmailing you?
Yeah, I work in insurance. I'm bonded. If my company found out I had a prior felony...
They would fire you. So that's why you lied to the cops. Tell them the truth, you tell them you have a motive.
Van and me, that was a million years ago. Long before either of you were born. I made a mistake. I paid for it. I got my life together. But Van didn't. Every time I heard anything about him, it was something bad. He hurt a lot of people. More than a few would have liked to have heard him back.
Including you.
I'm really tired.
Mom, why don't you go get some rest?
She holds her mother's hands while they look at one another tenderly.
I love you, sweetie.
I love you too.
Samantha looks away. Hannah, in orange prison uniform, rises. As a prison guard cuffs Hannah, she looks back at Francie tearfully and smiles.
It's okay. Let's go, ma'am.
Both Francie and Samantha are tearful. Later, they step up to a desk.
Ms. Kinsey, looking for something?
Just what you should be looking for, Van Jefferson's real killer.
That why you visited Mrs. McPhillips? You know, I try to keep an eye on everything that goes on in my jail.
My mother didn't kill anyone.
I also checked up on why you're really here. I spoke to a Chief Connors.
Sheriff Powell steps up to them.
He's a very nice man, very professional.
Well, you must have gotten your lines crossed.
He had some interesting advice for me. Recommends that if I want to save myself, I believe he called it a massive migraine. Then I just arrest you now, toss you in jail, and lose the paperwork. Of course, that's not exactly how we do things in Whiptail, but...
Sheriff, you locked up the wrong person.
I appreciate that you're both trying to help Hannah here.
What about Carl Delson?
The partner? You know something I don't?
I know his insurance claims seem a bit fishy and that he and Van Jefferson were probably up to something illegal. And that he has a gun.
You saw Carl Delson with a gun? When was that?
I saw it in his... Francie.
You want to finish that sentence?
No, she doesn't.
It's just funny, because we just got a call earlier about a break-in down at Delson's offices. You know anything about that?
Sheriff, have you ever given any thought to the idea that Carl Delson might have had both means and motive to kill his partner, Van Jefferson? Maybe if you look into it, check his office?
I have looked into Mr. Delson.
Really?
I interviewed Carl Delson myself. He's got an alibi for the time Van Jefferson was murdered. And incidentally, also a permit for a handgun.
A 32 caliber handgun?
Miss Kinsey, I know you mean well, but unless the two of you want to end up in jail beside Hannah, you really got to chill out.
He walks away. Samantha drives Francie back to Delson's office building and parks in front of it.
The answer's in that building. Well, that's one answer. Meaning? There was no forced entry. Somebody let Van Jefferson into your mom's house. There's a possible murder weapon missing from your father's secret stash that the police don't even know about. My father had nothing to do with this.
Francie, I was there, remember? I was outside the entire time your mom was inside.
Yeah, she was in shock.
Or not.
It was a long time. Long enough to hide things, destroy evidence that could connect her or your dad to the crime.
You're talking about my mother.
I don't believe this. I thought you were trying to help us.
Francie, we have to consider all the facts.
The only facts you need to consider is that my mother didn't kill anyone. You wouldn't be saying this if you knew her. You don't even know her.
Francie gets into her car and drives away. The burly heavy who shot at them steps through a door with a suited man. They watch Francie drive away, then turn to stare at Samantha. At the Whiptail Cafe.
What if Hannah really did kill Jefferson? It's the explanation that makes the most sense. Either she killed him or she's covering up for her husband.
You don't know that.
All I know is the more I find out, the worse it gets.
Look, Sam, it's easy to get sucked in. It's a lot like quicksand.
You got a lot of metaphors.
I'm just saying that, you know, meeting your birth mom is hard enough to meet her in jail.
I found her standing over a dead body.
I got your message.
How'd you find me?
It was easy.
You just followed the only road to Whiptail and you saw my car.
No, I stopped at the first diner. I figured wherever you were, you'd be eating, and I was right.
Thank you for coming. Oh, Cassie, this is my friend Vic. Vic, this is Cassie.
Hi.
Hi.
It's a long drive up here. You must be starving. Want to go whip you up something?
Oh, no, I'm okay.
Just say yes.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
I'll get you a couple of drinks, too.
Vic hurries off.
He's cute.
And he can cook, too.
I heard that.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Later, they sit at a table in the cafe.
I have a friend in L.A. working fraud.
Your friend the cop?
The detective. He tells me Van Jefferson has more than just a criminal record. They're watching him as a possible suspect, him and his partner, Delson.
Suspected of what?
Fraud, insurance scams, stage accidents, you know, swoop and squat stuff. Okay. This is you, your SUV. The bad guys have two cars. The first car, Sourdough, that's the one closest to you. The other one,
the Rye,
that's the swoop car. Swoop car waits for the squat car to slow down, forcing the Sourdough to slam on his brakes, forcing you to slam into his buns.
That's what Jefferson was up to. But that can't be very lucrative. How many accidents can a guy have?
Jefferson and Delson weren't in the accidents. Police suspect they were acting as brokers, selling out parts of the insurance claims to the highest bidders. Doctors, lawyers, physical therapists, auto repair shops.
That's how they made their money. Insurance settlements.
Staged accidents is a $20 billion business, which you and I pay for with higher insurance rates.
So what does any of this have to do with Hannah McPhillips?
McPhillips, why do I know that name?
Hannah McPhillips, hello, my birth mother?
No, not Hannah. Mark McPhillips.
Her husband.
I have his cell phone records.
You got his cell phone records? Man, that cop must really like you.
Detective, I'm working him. Anyway, according to these records, Mark McPhillips was using his cell phone when he said it was broken.
Who was he calling?
His house.
To Hannah.
Why didn't he go home sooner?
Well, maybe he did. What if when Hannah got home, she found the dead guy, but the killer was still in the house?
Mark.
Yeah. He's got plenty of guns, plenty of motive. Especially if he found out that Jefferson was trying to blackmail his wife.
Which is why he kept on calling her so they could get their story straight.
While he was racing off down the road, setting up his alibi.
Good theory. How are you gonna prove it?
Come with me.
I can't. I gotta be at the court in the morning.
Wait a second. Are you telling me that you drove all the way here knowing you'd have to turn around and drive right back?
Yeah.
Wow. Cassie, I would never do that for you.
Yeah, you would.
No, really. Never.
Yeah, you would.
I would not.
Yeah, you would.
Philby reads a book in his prison cell.
Guess who I found? Dale Browning. Turns out he's a real person. At least he was, for a day. Died at birth. February 20th, 1947. I'm guessing that's pretty close to your birthday, isn't it? That's how it's done, isn't it? When you want to create a false identity. Start with a real person, get a real birth certificate, but leave off the death certificate. That'll get you a social security number. But you don't have either of those. Why is that? No bank account, no credit cards. How do you exist, mister? Where'd you get that money to buy that new car you were driving around my town drunk in?
Roberta stares at Chief Connors.
Oh, well, I don't have much time for chit-chat either. Not with all those answers flying back into my inquiries. But you'll pay as soon as I find out what's really going on. As soon as I find out who you really are.
Hey, you must be Chief Connor.
What do you want?
Garrett Desmond.
Attorney at law. I'm Philby's lawyer. I'll be handling his case.
Oh.
Chief Connors eyes him dismissively and goes. Desmond, of medium build with a craggy, wrinkled face, smiles at Philby, then turns to look at George Rabetta. Rabetta tilts his head as though he recognizes Desmond. Night. Samantha drives up to the MacPhillips home and pulls up. She picks up her camera and snaps photos of Mark pacing along a veranda. She watches him leave the house, get into a car, and quickly drive away. Samantha pauses for a few moments, then follows him. Samantha pulls up behind a couple of parked trucks. A little distance away in a yard, Mark paces in front of his car. Samantha turns the wipers on to sweep raindrops from her windscreen. She frowns as she watches another car appear. Two men get out of the other car. It's the suited man and his burly heavy from Delson's office building. They step towards Mark. The heavy punches Mark and he falls back against his car. Samantha watches in horror as Mark is punched again. He falls to the ground where the heavy kicks him. Samantha turns her headlights on and speeds towards them. She pulls up in front of Mark and calls out.
Get in!
Mark runs to the Jeep and gets in. Samantha backs up. She speeds away. At Francie's bungalow.
Who are those guys?
Delson.
The dead guy's partner? What about the other one?
Some thug?
Dad, you know what? This looks really bad. I think we should get you to see that.
I tried to take him to the ER, but he insisted on coming here.
It's nothing.
Well, at least let me clean it.
Look, never mind this.
What, you wanted to get infected? Is that what you want?
The only thing that matters is getting your mother out of jail.
And how is waving a gun at Delson going to help get Hannah out of jail?
Man's a crook, just like Jefferson.
You know about Jefferson?
Delson knows about Jefferson. All I wanted for him to do is tell the cops what he knows.
I'm not sure it counts if he tells them while at gunpoint.
He knows who Jefferson ripped off.
People like Hannah? My mother was not involved. She told you that. Hannah told me that Jefferson had been calling her. Was he conning her, blackmailing her? Having an affair with her? Mark, listen. The longer you stay quiet, the closer you become to being Sheriff Powell's primary suspect.
100 people had good reasons to kill Jefferson. Delson's just the most obvious.
At your house?
Francie looks up at Mark.
Excuse me.
She gets her phone from her purse.
Hello?
Samantha?
Ben. Hi. Listen, could I call you back? I'm kind of in the middle of something.
So am I. Our date.
Oh, my God.
Conversation's been lively. Of course, it'd be a little less one-sided if you were here.
Wow. There are no words for me to apologize enough.
Just come on over. Running low on peanuts, but I'm pretty sure we could find you something else.
I wish I could.
But you got a book-related emergency? Heard of those?
I'm with my family, sort of.
You doing okay? You sound tired.
No, I'm fine.
Liar.
I'm fine.
So, how about Saturday night? Same time, same place?
Yes. Dinner's on me.
Okay. Just get some rest. Okay?
Okay. Bye.
She picks up her bag and steps towards the others.
You should go to the hospital.
Where are you going?
To get some rest. Feel better.
A motel. Samantha sits at her laptop. An email pops up.
Good morning, Cassie.
Another email with a photo.
Does this look like a hunk to you? Who is it?
Samantha closes her laptop and makes a call.
I've only ever seen him face down.
Apparently, a lot of women saw him in a lot of different positions. The guy was a total chick magnet. Some old, some young, all rich. The police think he swindled all of them, but get this. None of them would press charges. They all just wanted him back.
So are you saying I inherited the always picks bad men gene from my birth mother?
Nature versus nurture question? I pass. Point is, without the victim's testimony, none of this could be proven in court.
Just like his swoop and squat scam.
Exactly like the swoop and squat scam, which leads me to my bigger point. Jefferson's connection.
Connection to what?
Swoop and squatters don't just hit anybody.
Right, they get hit.
They do, but only by specifically targeted hitters.
Oh man, this is way too complicated to deal with before I've had my morning coffee.
The scammers only hit drivers that they know are worth it. Drivers that they can make a lot of money from, like fleet trucks, but those are too dangerous. Too many people have died. Cars have been just run over, crushed.
Breadcrumbs, I get the picture. So how did Jefferson choose his targets?
Well, my very sweet detective friend has included in his otherwise very romantic email that he suspects Jefferson had an inside connection.
Inside where?
That's the bad part. At least six of the biggest settlements he and Delson collected in the last 2 years have been with the same insurance company.
Don't say it.
The same one that employs Hannah McPhillips.
So Hannah was feeding Jefferson inside information.
She had access to all kinds of classified client info, total coverage, annual salaries, net worth.
Hang on. Are you absolutely sure about this?
Well, there's no money trail tying Hannah to any kind of kickback from Jefferson's insurance settlements, but
maybe she was involved with Jefferson.
Or it could have been blackmail. Sam, you still there?
Yeah. I'm still here.
The Whiptail Sheriff's Station. Samantha sits in an interview room. She watches Hannah being led past a window and into the room.
They said my daughter was here.
I lied. I want to know what's really going on.
What do you mean?
What are you not telling me?
Nothing.
You're lying.
We all have our secrets, don't we?
Sit down.
Hannah's cuffs have been removed. She sits down opposite Samantha.
You were giving Van Jefferson information about your clients from the insurance company.
He said he'd show them my felony record. I would have been fired. I told you that.
You didn't tell me that he had made that threat years ago. You didn't tell me this had been going on longer than a few weeks.
Just a couple of years at the insurance company.
And before that?
Before that, every time he ran out of money, he'd be gone for months at a time, sometimes years. But he always showed up again.
You still loved him.
Hannah nods.
Yes. And hated him. But I didn't kill him.
Station Desmond is shown to Philby's cell.
How's the food?
It's great. I'm thinking about staying here a few more weeks.
I hope it won't take that long to get all you'll need.
Desmond passes him a package.
Mr. Desmond, who let you back here?
Open three.
And good morning to you, Chief Connors.
A lot more Dale Brownings out there than you'd expect. Got one that's a truck driver, one's a dancer in Vegas. Be pretty confusing for me if I had to pay attention to all of them. Good thing for me there's only one George Rabetta. Did I forget to mention I know your real name now, George? Got an old buddy of mine from my Marine Corps days. always, you know, Semper Fi, always faithful. He's at the DOD, the Department of Defense. Well, looks like he really came through for me. Dug up quite a file on you, George. Pretty thick one to hear him tell it. He's sending it over by courier. It'll be here by tomorrow morning. I can't wait to read it.
Chief Connors leaves Rebetta's cell and looks at Desmond and Philby.
Now it's a good morning.
He leaves. Desmond turns to Philby.
Looks like our timetable just got moved up.
Samantha stands by her Jeep wearing a hands-free phone.
I know that I want to believe Hannah couldn't do it, and I want to believe that Mark didn't do it.
Please tell me you're not going to go back after Delson.
Cassie, he is hiding a whole criminal enterprise. Francie said she saw a gun.
The gun he may have been using to shoot at you, remember? Stay away from this guy.
I won't go anywhere near him. I'm just going to go inside and take a look around while everyone's out to lunch.
Samantha, wearing a cleaner's apron, spectacles, and with her hair pushed up under a scarf knotted round her head, chews gum and pushes a large bin on wheels along a corridor. She empties a dustbin into it and walks on. She saunters up to a door with a Jefferson and Delson nameplate on it, opens it and steps inside. She hurries past an empty reception area, enters another empty office, then runs to Carl Delson's office and lets herself in. She reappears sometime later, glances furtively about, then pulls the large bin out of the room. Samantha runs out of the building, still in the cleaner's apron. She jumps into her Jeep, parked at the curb, and speeds away. Delson's heavy speeds up in his car and parks. He makes a call.
We have a problem.
Sheriff Powell, it's Samantha Kinsey. Listen to me. Jefferson was killed by Delson. I know because I found the murder weapon in his office, along with his wallet and his ID. I'm bringing them to you right now, okay? Bye.
She removes her hands-free earpiece and drives on. A dark blue car speeds up alongside her with Delson at the wheel. He pulls in front of her. Samantha looks in her rearview mirror to see that there's another car behind her. She's sandwiched in. The three cars career along the deserted road. Samantha swerves sharply. Delson drives straight ahead towards a fence and smashes through it. Delson's car has driven over a steep bank. A body is taken away.
I was driving, and all of a sudden, Delson was right behind me. He cut me off, and then Bodie Wax was right behind me, and I had absolutely nowhere to go. There was this turn. I made the turn, and Delson kept going, and the Bodie just hit him, and he went over the side.
Hey, now, easy. You took a pretty bumpy ride yourself.
With the wallet and the murder weapon.
Yeah, we found him. It's not exactly proof that Delson killed Jefferson, and with Delson dead, there isn't going to be a trial. Besides, it all adds up. I think Delson killed Jefferson, probably for stealing some of what they were both stealing.
Tries to frame Hannah for it.
Anyways, that's what'll be in my report.
What about him?
Well, he's denying everything, of course, but given that he just tried to kill you, I'm gonna book him on attempted murder.
So that means Hannah's innocent. We have to let her out of jail.
No, I have to let her out of jail. You have to go to the hospital.
No, I'm fine. Seriously, I have to be there, okay? I really need to see Hannah, please.
Look, the paperwork to get her out is gonna take at least an hour. You go to the hospital and I'll just type real slow.
Really?
It's the only way I know how to type.
Thank you.
Samantha arrives at the sheriff's station and sees Francie and Mark sitting outside Sheriff Powell's office. Francie looks up, smiles, and nods. Samantha turns around and sits down on a bench by a reception desk. Hannah leaves the sheriff's office. Francie and Mark hug her. The amiable, fair-haired Sheriff Powell steps past them with a smile and walks up to Samantha, who stands in a doorway watching the family embrace. Hannah's tearful.
I'm so sorry. I'm just glad you're back. Yes.
It's all over.
Yeah.
Back in her motel room that night, Samantha sits curled up on an armchair looking through some documents.
Everyone's convinced Dawson did it.
Okay, so then the case is solved.
I'd like to believe that, but I just don't.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that I've considered everyone a suspect except Francie. There's something going on with her. I just can't figure it out yet.
Sam, the police have done their job. Just come home.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So why are you still there?
I still have questions.
About your medical history?
My eyes? No, I've got Ben looking into them.
Lucky you.
No other questions, like, why did Delson kill Jefferson? And why frame Hannah for it? Especially if she was feeding Jefferson information that was helping Delson.
These are all valid questions, but not the one you're really staying there for.
It just doesn't make sense.
Ask her.
What? Who?
The who is Hannah, your mother, and the what is why.
What why?
Why did she give you away? You just saved her life. She owes you at least an explanation.
Samantha nods. Desmond arrives at the police station holding a large box.
Yep, you're still called. Got it.
Hey!
It's your time.
Fresh donuts.
Hey!
More besides the calendar. How's the shoulder today?
It's a lot better. That heat, that really loosened it up.
It's good you stick with it. A little extra blood flow in there will save you some nasty surgery, believe me. Morning, Patty. Si. Si, how's your daughter's recital?
Oh, that's great.
Huh?
Hey, great. You ever gonna get that crazy client of yours out of my jail?
Well, maybe if you didn't make your jail so comfortable. but Philby is tougher than most. Really is. He's claiming this is a act of conscience in protest of a merchant selling goods made by child labor. That's tough.
In an antique store. Those kids would be pretty old by now.
Well, my client has a very strict conscience, believe me. Thankfully, the owner has a less political point of view. Bottom line, she just wants him to pay the damage.
He'd be better off paying for that than what you're billing per hour.
Politics is never cheap, Sergeant. See you later.
All right. Take care.
While the desk sergeant was distracted, Desmond attached a small magnet device beneath an electrical box attached to a wall. Oblivious, the sergeant tucks into a donut. Samantha parks up outside the McPhillips house and gets out. She walks towards Hannah, who holds her arms out to greet her.
Samantha, honey, thank you. Thank you so much.
She embraces her.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I made you something. Come inside.
Inside, they sit at a kitchen table.
These brownies are amazing. When did you even have time?
You know, it's all I thought about when I was in jail.
Probably what Martha Stewart said.
Well, it's the least I can do for the woman who saved me.
I didn't save you. You were innocent.
You know, Samantha, I can never thank you enough.
She's poured some iced tea.
You want some sugar?
Sure. Does it make any sense to you?
What's that?
Well, Van Jefferson was shot in your house. How did they get in?
I guess bad people can do bad things.
And why was he shot with your gun?
It's all just too much.
Hannah sits down opposite Samantha, who stares hard at her.
You know the truth, don't you?
I know a lot of things. I know who you are. I think I knew at the moment I saw you standing outside my door, all grown up. You have his eyes.
Whose?
Van Jefferson.
She gazes at Samantha.
Van Jefferson is my father?
And he was a man I loved with all my heart.
Did he know?
I didn't tell him. He was just a kid. We both were, two clueless kids heading off to jail. I may not have known much back then, not even right from wrong, I guess, but I knew I had to get Van Jefferson out of my life. And I knew had to give my baby a chance.
Samantha lowers her gaze.
I was born while I was in prison. I'm so sorry, honey.
She reaches out to Samantha, who pulls away.
Giving you up was the hardest thing I ever did.
Until now, when you were about to go back to prison for Francie. She killed him, didn't she?
You don't have any kids, do you? You'll be amazed what you're willing to do for them. Where are you going?
To the sheriff?
Samantha, no, you can't do this. Francie made a mistake. She made a terrible...
She killed my father!
She made a terrible mistake. You can't do this.
You can't. You won't. You won't do it, Samantha.
Francie's not a criminal. She's your sister.
She cups Samantha's face, then rests her hands on her shoulders. Samantha sits at a table outside the Whiptail Cafe. She's brought a cup of tea.
Thanks.
She answers her phone.
Hello?
Samantha.
Philby? Where are you? I've been calling you for days.
I've been otherwise detained.
Are you okay? Is everything all right?
Everything's fine. The shop is fine. Let's talk about you.
Oh, where to start? Well, there's a good chance that my sister killed somebody.
Killed who?
My father, but that's beside the point.
It is?
It's complicated. I'm adopted.
I know.
You know?
I didn't know you knew.
I do. So you know all about me, my parents, my uncle?
We were talking about you.
I don't know what to do. If I turn her in, my sister could go to prison for life, and if I don't, I don't know what.
Huh.
Philby, I don't mean for you to be making my life decisions for me, but I have no idea what to do.
This may not be easy for you, but sometimes people do bad things for good reasons.
Uh-huh.
Desmond arrives at Philby's prison cell.
I gotta go.
He closes his phone and shoves it under his pillow. Desmond steps up to the bars. Philby stands up and approaches him.
Are you ready?
Philby nods. They both look at George Rebetta, who's staring at them.
Oh my God, she's your sister, and she killed someone, and it was your father. This is, like, epic.
This is Shakespeare stuff.
Cassie, focus, okay? This girl is my sister, even though she doesn't know she is. Should I just turn her in like a criminal? What am I supposed to do?
She killed someone, right?
Yes.
Then you turn her in.
It's not that simple.
Samantha? Where the law ends, tyranny begins.
That's not Shakespeare.
It's close enough. Look, the law is the law. It's what I know. It's what I believe in. Uh-oh.
Hey, come on.
Oh, I gotta go. I gotta go.
Cassie?
Cassie runs out of her office. Samantha hangs up.
Chief, what are you doing?
Reading.
There's an alarm going off and you're just reading?
Uh-huh.
What if it's a big fire or an attack or an escape?
It's a pretty good story.
Are you okay?
About a man who saved a lot of people's lives. A real-life, honest-to-God hero. A guy with a special gift, the kind of gift people would kill for.
So you're not gonna do anything?
Semper Fi, Miss Hillman.
Always faithful to what?
The chief takes out an earpiece.
Ask Philby.
Philby?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
The chief's reading a file.
George Rebetta. Psychic espionage. Ooh.
Come on, let's go. It's not a drill.
Bye, Mr. Desmond.
Bye, Mr. Desmond. Thank you for the donuts. Come on. It's not lunchtime. Will you move, Carmen? Let's go.
Desmond leaves, half hidden behind a briefcase. Cassie opens a door to the cells. Rebetta's cell door is open and the cell's empty. She looks at the other cell.
Mr. Desmond, didn't you just... I just saw you leave.
The real Desmond plays chess with Philby.
Before I beat him, not a chance.
Cassie hurries out. Philby and Desmond concentrate on the game in hand.
Check.
Francie opens her front door to Samantha.
I know you killed Jefferson. I can go to the sheriff right now.
Or
you can tell me what happened.
Francie nods and steps aside.
Come in.
Samantha leans against a wall in a comfortable living room. A fire burns in a hearth. Francie steps towards her slowly.
He was blackmailing my mom.
I know that.
Well, I didn't. Until I saw them together. You thought they were having an affair?
Francie nods.
I confronted her about it. Like I said, something like, how could you betray Dad like that? She was so mortified. She told me everything.
She steps towards the hearth and stands with her back to it, facing Samantha.
I never meant to kill him. I called him. I asked him to meet me. I left him a message saying I was my mom.
Flashback.
I thought I could buy him off.
Francie's at her parents' home. She lets Jefferson in.
Telling you.
And he laughed at me. He said he made more money than that off just one of the tips my mom was giving him.
Francie turns away.
So you got so angry you killed him? No. No, I mean, I got plenty mad, but I thought he was gonna leave. And he didn't. He got really, really scary. He told me he knew all about me. He said he knew where I worked. He knew all the people that I worked with. He said I knew I had access to all their account numbers, credit cards, their savings, their checking. I had all the right numbers. He wanted them.
So he was blackmailing you too?
Yeah. I mean, he knew he couldn't do anything to me, but...
He threatened Hannah.
Yeah. And then he hit me across the face. I told him I'd get his numbers. I'd get whatever he wanted.
Okay, you what you want. Okay.
In her parents' home, Francie's crouched by the sideboard.
But I got my dad's gun instead.
She weeps.
I just panicked. I didn't know what else to do. I just felt so hopeless. I felt so angry. Are you gonna turn me in?
No. You're going to turn yourself in. Francie, you have to.
Why? Look, two very bad men are dead here. Okay, my mom's off the hook. This whole thing's over.
I thought it would be. And I really, really wanted to believe that. But you can't fix one bad thing by doing another.
No. No, who says so?
Your mom.
Samantha accompanies Francie into the sheriff's station.
I can't do this. Not a bad person. I don't want to go to jail. Tell him the truth.
Francie, listen to me. Listen to me. Just tell him the truth. You asked Jefferson over to get him to stop blackmailing Hannah. He got angry. He threatened you. You got scared. I know if I were alone and I felt threatened, I would want to defend myself. So just tell him the truth, okay? Self-defense. You can do this.
Okay.
Go.
Samantha watches Francie step up to the desk. Francie looks back over her shoulder at her, and Samantha smiles and nods encouragingly. Francie nods. then turns back to the desk sergeant. Samantha leaves. Back at the bookshop.
We didn't have to kill him this time. That's an improvement.
3 or 4 days in jail. And see if you call that an improvement.
I paid for the broken window out of my own pocket.
Well, at least George Rebetta's safe.
Because he's still dead.
As far as the rest of the world's concerned.
They're placing books on shelves.
You did good, partner.
Now and back then, when you faked his death. You should come back in.
I'm retired, Desmond. I'm out of the game.
Then get back in. You'd be surprised at the gigs I'm getting. Since they figured out that no one suspects an old has-been.
Well, since you put it that way.
Thanks, Toby.
Samantha rushes in.
Sometimes we get a first edition of Chester Himes in, and I'll keep you in mind.
Thanks. I'll be seeing you soon.
Desmond leaves. Samantha reappears from the back room.
Toby, wasn't that the guy I saw snooping around before I left?
What guy?
Now, normally I would stick around, accumulate all the relevant clues, and examine all the evidence to prove you were lying to me.
But
I have a date with Ben. And I can't keep him waiting. Again.
Ben!
Big Ben! Tick-tock! Tick-tock!
Ben and Samantha sit facing each other at a seductively lit table in front of a flickering fire at a restaurant.
Just felt so bad lying to you about my family history.
So this whole time you've been off looking for your family?
My birth parents.
And you found them? That's incredible. That's a great story.
You don't know the half of it.
Well, tell me.
Well, let's just say they have their problems, but not with their eyes.
Oh, that reminds me. I got another one. What did the pretty lady say to the ophthalmologist?
2 dates and I'm already sick of the eye jokes?
Yeah, that. But she's supposed to say, I think we'll be seeing a lot of each other.
Samantha smiles.
That's pretty lame. It's sweet, but lame.
She sips wine.
Sweet's good.
Yeah, we can work with sweet.
She dons her spectacles and smiles cheekily. ITFC audio description.